How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Welcome, my good people. Welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show. And I'm with your host, CJ Moneyway. Let's get it.
What's up, my good people? Welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show. And today, I have a two-time best-selling author, entrepreneur, and a messenger of hope. Hey, what's up, Jeremy, man?
What's going on? Hey, CJ, thanks for having me, man. Happy to be here and chat with you and your audience. So it's a blessing to be in your digital presence.
Oh, man, I appreciate it, man. On your status, but I just got to ask before we start.
Yeah.
So it's hard enough for a lot of us who have written books and put them on Amazon and sold books or whatever. It's hard for a lot of us just to even make it on the top 100 list or whatever.
Yeah.
Tell me, man, the true feeling of how it is to be a two-time best-selling author.
I mean, it's cool to have the title. It's like, hey, I can say I'm a two-time best-selling author, and that can get me in the door. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, like, I'm really about impact. And as long as my book is in more people's hands and that can open up conversations or speaking or allow my platform to get bigger, like, that's really where I feel just in my zone. But to be able to say I have two books that were on the bestsellers list on Amazon, like, that's pretty cool. I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah. Especially like my second book, because my first book was more my background. We'll probably get into some of this during this conversation, but it was more like a business oriented book for nonprofits. And the kind of book that I created was one that was a really niche kind of book. And I was like, that one might be a little easier because it's a niche, but my most recent book I put out is a personal development book. And I'm like, man, there's a million personal development books. So I'm like, I mean, my friends and family, they'll buy it. But when I actually saw it hit number two, like in its debut week, I was like, wow, this is amazing. So that made me feel really good. So I won't lie about that.
Yeah. And that's like with anything. I don't know if you play sports or not or whatever, but whatever you do, whenever somebody set out to do something, whether it's podcasting or whatever, you always trying to set out to be the best that you can be, or, you know, the best at what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I come from a family. I have four siblings and I grew up with competition. Mm-hmm. So I'm naturally competitive. You know, I respect the game, though. It's like, I'm not going to, you know, dismantle somebody and take them out or do anything to hate or try to hold back the next person. It's like, everybody give their best and see who wins at the end of the day. So that's for me to see that fruit of the labor, and personally, pride wise, I'm like, that's pretty amazing. And I think with this book, when it hit, like, I probably got a little misty eyed. I'd have to reflect back, but I don't know where I was, what I was doing when I refreshed that screen and saw it pop up. I was like, wow, okay, this is something a little bit different. And from the competitive spirit in me, like, It definitely did a lot for my confidence as far as putting this book out and affirming the work that I do.
Yeah, I mean, I can just imagine, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, the gratification that somebody get, like you say, when you do something like that. Because I can remember probably about a couple months ago, a guy from this site, Pod Status, you know, hit me up. He said, Corbin, I got some good news for you. I'm like, what's up? And so he sent me like the link or whatever. He said, your show hit number 77 in Colombia. I'm like, Colombia?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, the Cocaine Cowboys. I can't even listen to the CJ Moneyway show.
Hey, they're trying to get up on that game.
But I just, the feeling, the gratification to know that the thing that you're doing and the time that you have spent to put into your craft, man, that is not going unnoticed. So, I mean, I can't say nothing about being a best-selling author, but I can just imagine how that feeling is, man.
Yeah.
So,
no, appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, man. Congratulations on that too. And you probably got 3 more number one sellers too.
I mean, they're up here. I got them in my mind.
So when you ask to come and do a speech, what's the difference between just doing an ordinary speech and being a keynote speaker? Or is it a difference?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's really just learning what the audience is, what the message is. Certainly length of time is different, because if you're speaking a keynote versus just going to speak, like, for example, in front of a class or something, being a guest to speak in a class, there might be a little more production if you're doing a keynote speech. But my approach is always, you know, tell me about the audience, because I don't necessarily have a cookie cutter speech that I'm going to do every single time. I mean, there's certain points that I'm going to hit, but depending on the audience and consulting with whoever wants to book me and learning more about their organization, the people they serve, or the audience, like, that will help me tailor the presentation all the way around to what I need to say and who I need to reach. Because, you know, it'll be different when I'm looking at, say, a classroom of undergrad students versus maybe a corporation or an organization that works for the state or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So what's the biggest crowd that you have spoken in front of?
Honestly, like, when we look at, like, speaking, it's been 900. Like, I haven't rocked the Coliseums yet, but maybe the next time I'm on your show, yes. But that's me also, the competition in myself, trying to make it bigger and better. But even with that, like, but also the smallest crowd, 3. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Like, we're going to go big, let's go small. And I think for people to recognize that, you know, when you're doing speaking, it's, again, for me, it's all about impact, and whether it's a room of one or 10,000, like, I just want to be on point. I'm going to give you the same, whether it's a small group or big group, because I feel like I've been blessed with a gift and a message to share. And that's really what I want to do, is make sure that I connect with that audience. And even if it is a bigger group, still what I'll do is, like, break up groups, and we'll do, like, breakout sessions and things like that, where I can still connect a little bit with the audience.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I heard pastors say that even if you just got one person that he came to church that day,
yeah,
you still got to preach to that one person as if there's 100 people there, you know?
Yeah.
You can't dummy down the message because people not there, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I get that aspect of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about digital marketing, man, and how that works.
Yeah, I mean, digital marketing, so my consultancy is called Ampla Marketing. And so with that, I do digital marketing services for several different types of industries. But so just to kind of frame everything, so we're talking about book and marketing. And who I am is, like, I have a digital marketing consultancy, but at the same time, I also do speaking. So everything that we're talking about are things that I'm actively doing. Mm-hmm. From a digital marketing perspective, it might be working with companies or nonprofits or even musicians. I have some artists that I work with, helping them to promote a product or service, whether that's through email or social media or website content or online ads like Google Ads or Facebook ads, even Amazon ads, things like that. So identifying the audience, crafting that message, and making sure that we connect that audience with the product or service, and doing it in a way that gets results, you know, whether the result is someone signing up for a service or ordering food or buying an album or a ticket or something like that. So it's the strategy that goes to laying the landscape for that, and then the different tactics within social media, within an email, and everything like that that's involved.
So can you name your digital consulting company?
Yeah, it's called Ampla, A-M-P-L-A, Ampla Marketing.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Maybe I need to talk to you after this.
Hey, man, let's chop it up.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your personal life transformation, man.
Yeah. My personal life transformation really started in Oklahoma, which is where I'm from. And there's been a few pivotal moments in my life. One was, I grew up in a small town called Guthrie, Oklahoma. And when I was a sophomore, I ended up moving to Oklahoma City with my mother. And that was a big change for me, not because it was a small town versus Oklahoma City, but because I grew up in a town. And now, as I'm ending my, I guess, high school, like, I'm having to start over and meet new friends, where I left a town where everybody knew everybody and very comfortable, you know, very, like, I guess, popular. I don't look at popular like, oh, I was very popular. But, you know, I knew a lot of people. A lot of people knew me. the starting over and being an outsider. And so that was one transition. And the next one for me was when I was in college, I was doing music with one of my friends and we had a rap group, believe it or not, CJ. And so we were like, we want to do something with this. So we're either going to move to New York, Atlanta, or LA. At the time, New York like was too cold. LA was too Hollywood, and Atlanta was really just starting to pop with, like, you know, Outkast and some of the stuff Jermaine Dupri and Dallas Austin were doing. So we were like, hey, let's go to Atlanta. So that was kind of a next pivotal moment. So followed that dream. And I like to say I followed my dream and found my purpose, because the goal in the dream was to really do music and see how far we could take it. You know, can we be an artist and get signed to a major label and tour the world and put out albums? And for me, I wanted to do that and then start my own label or production company and put out other artists. By the time I got into like my late 20s, we had some mild success, put out a couple of independent projects and performed at Showtime at the Apollo on national TV and got booed off the stage, which was fantastic.
Sandman did come out on you.
Hey, Sandman came out, but hey, no surprise though, right? No surprise. Yeah. But I also look at like the other legends who got booed off. So I'm like, hey, if Lauryn Hill gets booed off and I get booed off, I'm in good company. It's all good. But so it got to a point where, you know, I was in my late 20s and things just with the industry weren't going how I wanted them to go. And I was like, I don't think this is really what I want to do anymore. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like lost. Like, this is my whole life. Well, not my whole life, but really since I was a teenager, this was my goal. I moved my whole life to Atlanta from Oklahoma. And what do I do now? You know, so trying to figure out my contacts, who I am, what my interests are, what my passions are. Did a lot of work on myself, ended up going back to school, getting my master's degree and getting into marketing. Like, my undergrad was in marketing. So I've always had an interest in marketing. And the reason that I did marketing was so that I could learn how to market myself. And if I had a record label, how I can market my business. So that was always like the plan anyways. So kind of taking everything where, you know, experiencing job loss and unemployment and really down to, I mean, I remember, and I think I may even write about it in my book. Like, I mean, there were times where, well, not rent, but my mortgage was due and I'm kind of digging through my couch, like paid the mortgage. Like, okay, let me get this money, whatever I can find. Let's go to Coinstar and see if I can get some groceries this week. You know what I'm saying? So there were times that were like, really, there was a struggle, you know, and I was always okay at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kind of having this dream and going through this period of loss, of being lost and not really knowing where to go. And then through self-discovery and finding myself again, rediscovering myself and my talents, like, it really set me up for this next chapter of my life. And that's really what I write about in my book. So it's finding your edge, how to unlock your talent and purpose. And this book has been like 10 years in the making. And it talks about the transition, the things that I did. I actually created a framework built off of different things that I tried here and there, but none of them really worked for me. So I kind of put together my own framework that I call Edge. And that's what helped me really discover who I was and go all in on my purpose. And that's why I landed on, like, my purpose is really to be a messenger of hope. You know, I look at even the music, when I was doing music, like being able to connect with an audience, be on stage and you tell a crowd to put their hands in the air and they do, you know, and you leave the stage and people come up and they're like, man, that was really like, I felt that. I felt what you were saying. People hearing my songs and being in tears at times. I'm like, okay, there's something here. There's this gift I have. And everything I did in the music industry, like, really kind of prepped me for where I am now. It's just my platform has changed and this is the lane that I'm supposed to be in.
Yeah, you know, you said that, and that was gonna be one of my questions to ask about your book, Finding Your Edge and How to Unlock Your Talents and Purpose.
Yeah.
Just sitting there listening to you say that, I was thinking about, it was three guys, they had talents, you know, mm-hmm. And it say that one of them went out and multiplied his talents, and then the other one went out and multiplied his talents. The other one buried his talents in the earth.
Yeah.
Ones that multiplied their talents, they got more talents.
Yes.
And one that buried his talents, he got nothing.
Right. And
like, what I get out of that, the correlation that I get out of that is that we was all given talents.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, I was listening to you and like you said, that you was going through this, but you still had this dream, although you was looking for money in the couches, how I'm going to eat and how this going to happen. But you didn't bury your dreams, you know? And so a lot of times, a lot of us, we bury our dreams and never go back and pick them back up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing that you said, too, that was intriguing to me is that a lot of times, too, in life, and that's how he sets us up, is that we thinking that our purpose is to do one thing, but it's just a building block.
Yeah.
That he really wants us to do in life. You know, that's just a learning curve. Like, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Right, right, right. Yep. 100%, man. And that's in the parable that you're referring to, you know, that's straight out the good book, man. That's in the Bible. And but I believe that 100%. And even with people, like there's people that I know that that are extremely talented, but they're not doing anything with it. And I think a lot of times, and even my book will kind of help deal with some of that, because I think a lot is a fear of failure or maybe anxiety. And then maybe exposure, because it's like, well, what if I do this? And now there's more people who either see me and I just like to be in the background. But maybe you have to work through that discomfort, because the way that I think about it is like you have this food, this meal that you have, you've prepared it and you've just set it on the table, and it nobody's eating it. It nourishes nobody. It's just there. It goes cold and it rots and it goes away. So we all have food to give. We all have a gift inside of us to share. And I believe that 100%. But I also believe that your gift, when we look at the impact of your gift, it may not be on a grand scale. You may not be a world changer, and that's okay. Like, your gift might just be to serve within your community or your household or that random stranger that you pass by every day. That might be your gift. But if you keep it to yourself because you're worried about judgment or fear, or what happens if I actually do this gift and it changes my life and I like where I am now, or I'm comfortable where I am now, and there's this fear of the unknown, it's like, we have one time to do this here on earth. And you know, you don't want to be like on your deathbed, I don't care if you're 30, 62, 105, and like, man, I really wish I would have done this. It's like, man, we have one time to do it. This is not the dress rehearsal. This is the show. So let's take those chances. And if it's meant to be, it will happen. And give yourself some time to work through your gifts and see what opens up. And that's really what I believe everybody has in store for them.
And I agree with you too, man. You know, a lot of times it's the fear factor. Mm-hmm. Then, I mean, I don't know about your experiences as far as, you know, where you are now, but mm-hmm. then there's a lot of times too when you do something, and it's that it's the support system, you mm-hmm. know, the where people not really feeling me. And mm-hmm. so a lot of times, and I think too that this is where a lot of people get discouraged at too, is that when people that you think are going to support you and they don't,
mm-hmm.
it's discouraging to people. And so now I have boxed my talents.
Yeah.
I boxed my talents up, because nobody received what I was giving them. But, you know, I just interviewed a young lady a few weeks ago, man. And she told me something that was like mind-blowing to me, because they had just did the Mother's Day thing. You know, they have, not Mother's Day, Women's Month
mm-hmm.
last month.
Yeah.
She was talking to a queen in Ghana. They was in a conference.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me, she say, sometimes your talents and your gifts are not for people that's around you. It can mm-hmm. be COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like with your book.
Yeah.
Like, you're not a two-time best-selling author from selling for people in Atlanta and Oklahoma. No, that's global. You know what I'm saying? That's people that you would never meet, people that you would never see, people's lives that you are transforming and would never know who it is. They know you, but you don't know them.
Yeah. And that's like, it's very gratifying to get just like a random message where it's LinkedIn or Instagram and someone's like, I read your book and, you know, this story or this really tapped in with me. And I related to that so much. Like, wow, because you never know. There's always people watching you, you know, and you don't expect it. Like, apparently you have a big fan base in Colombia. You know what I'm saying? You're like, Colombia, I just made this to put good content out, good stories, but it's always like reaffirming to know that it's being received by somebody.
Yeah.
And to your point, like when you create something or when you're doing something new or in a direction that you think you're going to go and your immediate circle of friends or family don't support you, like it is crushing. Because I've had situations in the past where, like as an example, little example, like back when I was in college and I remember throwing like a party and promoting this heavily. And everyone's like, yeah, we're going to come. We're going to come. And I had someone like come in, like we put some money into it and nobody showed up. Nobody. Everyone that said they were going to show up didn't show up. Man, I was like, I was done with people. I was like, I'm done with everybody. These people who I thought were my friends said they were coming, didn't show up. Like, I never want to do this again. And screw all of y'all. Like, y'all don't have me like you said you did. And yeah, it can certainly affect what you're doing and how you approach something. And that's just like a party. But when you think about sharing your gift, and if you're met with that, it's like, that's not your audience. Yes, you want your friends and family to support you, but if they don't, like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do if you have your purpose, but your best friend or other friends are like, no, I don't know about that. Like, are you going to listen to them or are you going to listen to what your calling is and what your purpose is? Because what will happen 9 times out of 10 is you're going to progress anyways. And when you do have the success and when you do make that impact, those same people that either hated on you or said you shouldn't do it will come back and say, you know what? Like, I was wrong. Like, you knew what you were doing. And I mean, people got their own lives to worry about. So if you're looking for opinions from other people when they got their own mess in their lives to structure and they want to tell you how to live your life, like, that's not who you need to listen to. You need to listen to yourself. I also like pray, meditate, whatever your spiritual beliefs are. Like, that's what you need to listen to more than the voices around you. And that's for good too. People may say, hey, this is really good, but is that really how they feel? Like, I use the positive voices to inspire me and I use the negative voices to inspire me. But overall, it's like, I got to have confidence and know who I am to know what I'm capable of, what I'm putting out there. To know that regardless of what you say, if you say this is the best book ever, like, okay, I'm grateful you feel that way. Or if you say this is the worst book ever, and I'm like, I'm gonna write an even better book if you think it's the worst book. It's both of them like help me up my game, you know?
Yeah.
So use that to inspire, but use yourself as the person who's going to walk this journey, and you're going to be the one taking those steps. Nobody else is taking those steps for you.
You know, it's funny that you said that, because right before we just got on, I just texted my mother something, and because we were talking yesterday, because I, you know, you get to a point where you be like, man, is it me?
Yeah.
Or is it, you know, or is it the people around me? What am I doing wrong? So I had to pray and ask, you know, saying God for that, to give me discernment on what type of season I'm in right now.
Yep.
And so I was just texting her and I say, you know, when I was in the shower, that's where I get most of my thoughts from.
Same. And
it was
for real. Sorry to cut you off. We'll go back to that, but keep going.
No. But he said it's a purging before elevation.
Mm.
And wow, you know. And so sometimes people gonna get cut off.
Yeah.
They gonna get cut off. And not necessarily you cutting them off, but it's something. And as you just said, it made me think about it, because this is your journey experience.
Yeah.
This is you in a different type of wilderness experience right now. You have been through some wilderness experiences, but this is different, you know, because people are falling off. People not receive. And it's for a reason, because I don't want you to think that people got you to where you are.
Right.
And when you get to where I'm taking you, then...
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging, so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, as you say, whatever belief you have, then you would know that it was me who brought you to where you are, because the people whom you would have gave credit to, they not there.
Right.
I said, wow. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you say, it's all about how you perceive it, regardless of how anybody else receive it. It's what you're going to do with the talents that God has given you.
Yeah.
Along with.
No, I agree with that 100%. We are the carriers and the proprietors of this body and this skin and this purpose that we have, you know, and people haven't had my journey. They haven't had your journey. Mm-hmm. There's bold decisions and risks that I've had to take, and you've probably had to take, that other people wouldn't take because of the same things we talked about a few minutes ago, whether it's fear of failure or fear of being judged. So if you're not making those decisions like that, and you haven't made those decisions, then it doesn't make sense to you why I would choose to do this or not do this, because you're not thinking the way that I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Like, I don't judge anybody, but my challenge to people and to the listeners is like, try to go a step further. Like, try to break out of that comfort zone. You know, comfort zone is where you stop growing. Comfort zone is where people go to die. So like, let's get out of that, and let's see if we can take a step this week. And maybe there is that passion or that talent that you have, but you haven't done anything with it. And let's try to see what's there. Let's fiddle around with it. Like, let's do something this week that feeds into that, and see if that doesn't unlock what your purpose is. Because when you walk in your purpose and you're confident in that, you think differently. You don't think of these restrictions. You think of like, this is my journey and this is my destiny. So it doesn't matter what you say. Like, that's your life. This is mine. This is my mission. So you're not the general of this mission like I am. And you can come along with me. But it's also, to your point, everybody that was with you isn't supposed to be with you where you're going. You know what I'm saying? You have people that are with you for seasons. And this could be longtime friends of yours, you know, from childhood on. And they're not thinking where you are. And they haven't taken those risks. They haven't either done the work or aspired to do the work. So they have this kind of smaller mentality, or they can have this smaller mentality. And they're trying to keep you from leaving them, you know, because you're a good friend. So they don't want you to leave, because they know if you are unlocking your purpose and you're over here, then that connection that you have with them may be lost. But, you know, if you're growing, that circle needs to grow. And if the circle's not growing, you have to have a different circle, you know, and people that support you, and people that will feed into what your journey is. And it's hard, you know. You have to grieve relationships sometimes when you are growing, and it's not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not. And I think that's where a lot of our, you know, saying a lot of people downfall is, because we don't want to let go of mm-hmm. certain people. You know, you just said something that made me think about an analogy I used to use all the time. Sometimes we can have some doors open in life.
Mm-hmm.
This can go with relationships or whatever, you know, friendships, or ladies' relationship,
mm-hmm.
That God has opened up a door for you.
Yeah.
But you can't go through that door, that open door, because the people that you got attached to you, it's not meant for them to go through.
Yeah.
Because of your unwillingness to let go of some folks,
mm-hmm.
this door that's open is literally shut.
Yeah.
You know? So sometimes, and then when you realize as time go on in life and how people start falling off, see, because what's in you is going to start glowing up out of you. And,
yeah.
and as we know as believers, is that a lot of times people don't, it's not that they dislike, that they dislike Jeremy. It's not Jeremy that they dislike. It's what's inside that they dislike, because it don't mush together. It don't go together. It say that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities.
Yeah.
Wickedness in higher places. But if you don't understand certain things, certain levels, like you said, or who you are, then you can let that affect you. But if I understand who I am and who I am in him and the things that he has required me to do, then I can move on. Yeah, the relationships that I have to leave behind, yeah, it hurt, but I can move on, because I can't stay stuck because you won't stay stuck.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of this deals with like letting go and being okay with letting go. Mm-hmm. And like, let's break it down to like, not even like inanimate objects before we talk about human objects. You know, if you've ever had to let go of the landline at home when you got a cell phone, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to let go of the landline, you know, and you were scared to do it. What will life be like without having a landline?
Yeah.
You know, and then, oh, I don't want to get rid of the cable. I don't want to cut the cord because what will happen if I only have a streaming service?
Yeah.
And you do this, you let go of the landline, you let go of the streaming service, and you're like, oh, this isn't so bad. I actually don't miss having those things.
Yeah.
So these are inanimate objects. When we look at people in life, like there's people who right now listening to this are maybe have another job opportunity, and it's a good job opportunity, but they've been working where they've been working for X amount of years. They're like, man, I like this. I'm comfortable. I know what to expect. Yeah, it's more money here, but what if they let go of me in 6 months? You know, and then I'm unemployed and I have no money. But what if they don't let you go? What if you do get this job and you walk into more money? And what if you get promoted? Or what if that actually leads to a better job, an even better job somewhere else? It's mm-hmm. like we have to stop thinking about what we have right now is the best that it can be.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you know, and you can always grow outside of where you are. So with relationships, it's like, I know people, you probably know people that want a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, but they're set to like their old ways and what they want to do. And everything that they say they want in a person, like that's not how they're living their life. It's like, if you really want this person, you've got to let go of some of these things that and behaviors and people you surround yourself with and things that you do so that you can have this over here. So, and that's the hard part because it's the uncertainty. This is all I know. And I know this is what I want, but I have to let go of this to get what I want. And it's like, just commit to doing it, you know? And it's a hard thing to do for a lot of people, for most people, actually.
Yeah. I'm laughing and I'm agreeing with you because I was just talking to a young lady I call her my sister at work. You know, I take people under, I like to mentor people and help young, you know, I'm an older guy. So I like to give back, you know, I don't want, if you don't have to go through some of the challenges and some of the things that I went through in life, I'm going to tell you, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's nothing to me because I believe that, as you say, my purpose in life, that's why I went through some things so I can help some other people that I don't even know.
Yep.
You know, and so I was just telling a friend of mine that just what you were just saying the other day, sometimes you looking for this, but you confused. You don't even know what you want. And so how can somebody know what you want and you get mad because they don't understand what you want, but you don't even understand what you want?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, now you got to let some, you got to let some things go. And it do matter.
Yeah.
You listen to.
Hmm.
That's right. It do matter.
Yeah.
People can pull you and tug you over here. You can have a good thing over there and they can talk about it. Yeah. and so now it goes into your ears.
Right.
Your reflection start coming towards them. And then you lose a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You, as far as you got women nowadays got this checklist. You got to check all, you know. Hey. And so you got a good man, but he don't check all the boxes. And so you out looking for something totally different. And then you get that with what you was looking for, then find out that that ain't really what you want because it ain't all cracked up, you know, what it's all cracked up to be. But I get you on that, man. We could go on for hours on that. But let me ask you, Jeremy. So what motivated you to start writing books, man?
I think it was probably the transition from music to what do I do now, like with that, because I always enjoy writing. So when I thought about like what I want to create next, and it wasn't music, and I thought about my journey, and there was a part of me like, I don't know, before I even started this, I was like, one day I want to put out a book, you know, one day, but I don't know what the book is going to be about. But I knew in me, like I wanted to release a book. So it really just came from having this desire to write and create and put something out into the world that could inspire other people. And I created the time to do it. Like my book, I say it was 10 years in the making, and how that looked was me. I didn't necessarily create the time to write. It might just be a Sunday afternoon and I block out a few hours to write. And I did that for about 7 years. And my book was about 80% finished. But then I set my book down because I was like, there's something else this book needs. And I haven't lived it yet. There's some experiences, and Lord willing, I will live long enough to have that experience and write about it and put this book out. So after about 3 years of running my business, growing, I was like, it's time to pick it back up. And when I picked it back up, like, I really focused my writing, and I created it within my work schedule. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was like, and I have some flexibility because I work for myself, and I know a lot of people don't have that. But even if you don't work for yourself, if you're able to even block out time that is really like sacred time for you to write. And even if you're a parent, like once the kids go to bed, you know, it's harder during different life phases. If you have kids that are in sports or activities and you don't get home till 10:30 at night, like it is hard to do that kind of thing. But if you're able to block out some time, 30 minutes, an hour a day, that's what I did. I built it in 9:30 to 10:30 every morning, Monday through Friday. It just became a part of my workflow. And I did that for several months and finished up my book. And so that was it. Like, I had the ideas. I have an online course that I based my book off of. So it was easier. I had an outline for me to create my book around and then just fill in the content with like different stories and questions. Like, one of the cool things that I like about my book is at the end of each chapter, there's journaling questions kind of to go over what we learned during that chapter that you just read. So really to help you think about yourself and your life and tap into personal growth.
Oh, okay. So yeah, like you say, when you write, man, it is, you know, the time frame.
Yeah.
What you're doing. Because some people, like a mother, for example,
mm-hmm.
do the same things over and over again.
Yeah.
Get the kids ready for school. And, mm-hmm. you know, then you go off to work. You come home. You cook. You help them with homework. And then it's time to go to bed. And so a lot of times we don't, as you were saying, we don't have that time where we can craft time.
Right.
Sales, you know, and so, but when you have that desire, when you have that burning desire to do something, and you know that this is something that God has put on your heart to do, he's going to create that time for you. Like you say, from 9:30 to 10:30, that was your alone time. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Where he was giving you, and then when you do stuff like that, it seems like it just starts flowing out of you. Like, because I wasn't no writer. I still would consider myself a writer, right? Mm-hmm. But I write.
Yeah.
But give it to somebody and let them. Because I write like I talk. And when I sent the guy my manuscript, he was like, man, he say, I like it, man. He said, I can do some work with it. He say, but you're definitely not a writer.
Ouch. Ow. You're like, what? Like, well, help me out.
Hey, well, yeah, just fix it. Just do it.
Right. That's what I'm paying you for. Fix it. Make me a writer.
Yeah. So besides writing, speaking, and helping others, what are some of the other hobbies that you enjoy doing?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy traveling. So, like, that's one thing that I'll say before I get into travel is, like, I really enjoy what I do. So, to me, it's like, even what do I like to do outside of work kind of thing is, like, I just feel like I'm living my life in a way that I'm enjoying everything I do. I like seeing my friends and family. I enjoy traveling, but I mean, I love marketing. I love making an impact with people. I love like meeting new people. So mm-hmm. I don't have, I guess I will. This is a unique, well, I guess outside of this realm. During COVID, I did become a vinyl collector. I did get my record player. So I do like to listen to my records. And, you know, that's become kind of my hobby, I guess, as well, outside of work and all that stuff.
What you listening to, 45?
No. I mean, not the 40. Well, yeah, not the 45s, not the little records, you know, the 12-inch. But now my record collection is growing and it's diversifying, and I'm digging it. When I first got my record player, I was like, I'm only going to get like maybe 15 albums that you can listen to front to back. Because, you know, the way technology is, we're so used to playlists now. And with a record player, you listen for like 15, 20 minutes and you have to stop what you're doing and flip the record over. So it's kind of an interruptive experience. Mm-hmm.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.